Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you today and for us to share fellowship together. Madeline sends her greetings. Just felt that today with lockdown and all that kind of thing, that it's only wise that we kind of not populate seats that we're not supposed to populate and things like that, and to give you the space that you need to be able to do that. I hope that today, as we're speaking out to those who are in homes and in various places worshipping together with us today, some of you will also begin to get the confidence that this place is a really safe place. Of course, I work in hospital and work in hospital quite a lot, and I can confidently say that here today everything's been right and in order and being done right. And so it's a very, very safe place for you to come. In fact, probably one of the safest places you can be. So that's good, isn't it? So get the confidence to book in, book your seats, and begin to come back in fellowship, because that's a wonderful thing to be able to do, isn't it? Praise God. I mean, the great thing about it is that no matter where we are, God's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, you know. So even though we haven't been able to congregate together in the same kind of way, then God hasn't left us. On saying that, he also does say to us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so there must be a benefit in collective gathering as well. So even though he never leaves any individual, there is something very powerful when we as believers come together in one accord, in one place, just believing God for great things. And we all look forward to the day when this place is packed again. We look forward when we can have as many seats out as we can, and that Teesside will be saved. That would be great, wouldn't it? And so that's what we look forward to. And I do thank you for your confidence, Pastor, in inviting me back, and for us to be able to be here today. I do miss you all. I do miss our travels. I miss what we're doing. Interestingly enough, in an international sense, during lockdown, we've had 3 new babies. No, not Madeline and myself. but our young men and women over in India, who we mentor and train and things like that, 3 different couples have had babies while lockdown's been on, which is, we're desperate. Because they're all waiting for us to go over there and christen them and dedicate them to Jesus. And so that's going to be a wonderful privilege when we can get back there. So even though we've been locked down as well, like everybody else, we've still had the opportunity to be able to mentor and to encourage and to be with people online and various things all across the planet. Isn't it wonderful that we have the facilities to be able to reach people, even though we can't get to them practically. And so, and I want to thank all those who are dealing with the technology this morning. You guys who are working on that and doing it, we want to thank you for the labours, because I've worked on, yeah, that's good. I've been on Zoom and working on them kind of things, and the sooner we can get back talking to each other, the better it is for me. I find it quite difficult. In fact, I've banned Zoom from my life. that's how it's come. But thank you to the makers of it, because it has provided a platform, hasn't it? We've had lots of new words, and probably not new words, but buzzwords that have been banded around in these recent times. Things like lockdown, social distancing. The virus, you know, that kind of thing. There have been words that have been banded about in recent times. But of course, it's not all recent. In fact, it was interesting that Madeline, before we came out this morning, was looking at the context of the virus that we're facing at this moment in time compared to some of the viruses in history of how they've hit the planet. And it was done in the realm of circles. And this one is about a little tiny dot compared, for instance, to the bubonic plague, you know, which was took almost a quarter of the world's population. You know, well, we don't want anything like that, do we? Unprecedented. Is that a new word? We've heard it over and over again, haven't we? Unprecedented. Well, you know, years like this are years that we'll probably never forget. But I want to take you back to the year 1447 BC. That's a long time ago, isn't it? I want to take you right back 3,500 years to an unprecedented year. It was an amazing year. It started out with a shepherd. And this shepherd was wandering around the wilderness. He was in isolation. He was being socially distanced. It was all of his own doing, really. Although he thought he was doing okay. He thought he was doing well. And for quite a long time, he found himself in total and utter isolation. And while he was in isolation, he had an encounter with God. And I hope that during this isolation, you're having an encounter with God. Because like Pastor Dave told us earlier on, there's moments of encounter that we can have that actually we can't have with other people. There's sometimes that God has to withdraw us and take us to one side. When I speak tonight, I'm going to speak about Elijah tonight in Stockton. But there are times when God has to draw us aside and that we have to begin to understand that it's only in them times that God can get our attention and speak to us. The celebrations are wonderful things. The coming together is a wonderful thing. I mentioned earlier on that it is important for us to come together because there's an encouragement in togetherness. But also, we have to recognize that most meaningful encounters with God are you and Him. And that there's a moment. And this shepherd was wandering around the wilderness, and as he wandered around the wilderness, something caught his attention. It was a bush that was burning. It wasn't an unusual thing, but it was unusual that it kept burning. At this moment in time, we've got a forest fire that's happening in America, and several lives are being lost through that today. In fact, President whatever they call him, Trump, is going down to California at this moment in time to try and help the families that have lost their lives and are going through devastation. So there's lots and lots of forest fires that have happened across Australia and various places around the world. But there's one little tiny fire that has been remembered and being remembered this morning after 3,500 years, that one bush that burned altered the state of a nation. Isn't that amazing? It was an encounter that Moses had with God that changed his life, changed his focus, and changed his direction totally and utterly, and began probably one of the most devastating and yet profound years in the whole of history. In fact, when I began to look at it, I never realized how much happened in one year. 1447 BC. You'll remember that, won't you? 1447 BC. When you look in your history books, you'll probably find it was a different date, but never mind, it'll do for today. And if you speak confidently enough, people believe you anyway, don't they? So it's... I wasn't there, by the way. Okay. So Moses gets this word from God. I want you to go and set my people free. They've been in bondage for 450 years. If you take the scene to the other side, there's a 2.5 million crying on God saying, please deliver us, set us free, set us free. And they think that God's not interested. And some of you have been crying through this, thinking that God's not interested. And yet, actually, when you move the scene, you get to Moses, and God is showing how interested he is by trying to get a person interested in their plight. And that's how God often works. God's often working with people like you to try and get your attention, because somewhere else there's a whole load of people who are saying, I need help, I need help, I need deliverance, I need setting free, I need your intervention in my life. When then God is speaking to someone like you, because you are the intervening God in their life. Have you got it? That actually these people who are crying are crying for God to answer, when God is speaking to someone who is the answer. And Moses is saying, I'm not the answer. And God is saying, yes, you are, because if you're not the answer, who's going to set these people free? And he's saying, well, you can do it. And God says, well, yes, I can do it. I'm going to do it through you. And that's the same as Teesside, if you like. It's the same as people all around us, as this problem that we face today. God needs answers. He is the answer, but he has chosen to use his people as the answer. Have you got it? So Moses takes up the challenge along with Aaron, and it begins a year of pestilence like they've never known. It begins with trouble. And often when God begins to stir things, there's trouble. There's not always the lovely outcome. Sometimes there becomes devastating outcomes when God gets involved. We have to be very careful of what we ask God to do, because sometimes we say, why doesn't God do? The trouble is when he does do, it affects us. It really does. And it sometimes affects us in negative ways rather than positive ways. Of course, it's the beginning of 10 major disasters in just a few months. It's all in the same year. I never realized that all of these plagues, until I was looking at it recently, the flies, the frogs, the firstborn son, the water into blood, and all of the kind of things that happened, one after another, after another, after another. And we've known what it's like to suffer one thing. COVID-19 has so affected our lives that many of us are locked in. Many of us are feeling frustrated. Just imagine how frustrating it must have been that after one, there was another. In fact, in hospital life at this moment in time, many of our thoughts are going towards not the pandemic, but what about it when flu adds to that? Because every year, we're struggling with flu and flu injections. And by the way, if you haven't had your flu injection, get it, okay? We're going to become available. And as Christians, we can say, oh God, he'll look after me. Well, the way he looks after us is because he's able, but also we have to kind of conform. So please, just recognize that when there's possibilities and availabilities and for you to be able to do something for yourself, it's important that we do what we can do and then allow God to do what he can do, okay? So, for instance, when it comes to the final plague, all of the children of God are instructed to stay inside. The angel of death is going to pass over. You're going to apply the blood. It's going to be to the doorposts and the lintels. And everybody who's inside will be saved. Can you see how that sometimes there are restrictions that God puts on us and that we have to conform? I'm sure that if they didn't conform, they would lose their lives. And it's like in this virus. If we don't conform, we could lose our life. And so it's important, even though we trust in God, and even though we're God's people, that we learn also to conform to these kind of things, okay? So then something really wonderful happens, because Pharaoh says, okay, I'm going to let you go. So they've come through the 10 plagues in this same year. Eventually they arrive at the Red Sea, and when they arrive at the Red Sea, they've got a problem. They've got a problem behind them. They've got a problem at the side of them. They've got a problem in front of them. In fact, they almost wished that they were back where they were. Okay? And then God, of course, opens the Red Sea. When he opens the Red Sea, 2.5 million people cross on dry land. And that which becomes the deliverance of the Jews becomes the destruction of the Egyptians. So what is our deliverance can obviously become our destruction. And for those of you out there who are listening outside and those in here, always remember that the salvation of Jesus, if believed in the cross of Jesus Christ, it's our salvation. If rejected, it becomes our condemnation. And that's why it's important for us to accept the ways of God and to accept what he offers to us. Salvation is free to every single person, and every single person who follows Jesus can actually find true and utter salvation eternally in heaven to be with himself. And that's a wonderful thing. They come through the Red Sea. And when they come through the Red Sea and get on the other side, they begin to rejoice and enjoy the blessings of the other side. We enjoy the first Passover in that year. So the very first Passover that takes place in that very year, 1447 BC, is the time of first Passover. One of the things that we've had to kind of cope with is not just the virus at this moment in time, but what we've had to cope with are the rules and the regulations that have gone with it. So much so that when you come to church today, you're all sat here with your masks on, looking really pretty. If you take your mask off, it's not so nice. So it does help the preacher when he says, "Be not afraid of their faces." We don't have to be afraid of your face anymore because you've got masks all over them, okay? But you can only meet together in sixes. You can only have two families meeting together. We've had to be careful where we can go, what we can do, how we unlock things and what things are happening. And it wasn't long before the children of Israel had been the other side of the Red Sea, where it was important that rules and regulations came to the people, because the Ten Commandments were given in that same year. And in that same year, they received rules and instructions of how they ought to live. And they weren't kind of heavy commandments. When you read the commandments, they're not heavy commandments. They're just social issues that we have to learn to deal with, that we honor our parents, and that we don't commit adultery, that we don't kill, we don't steal. We love God. Can you see that rules and regulations can sometimes become very much part of life, and that we, just because we're Christians, don't step outside of them rules and regulations. Say, "Oh, well, I'm a Christian, I can do as I like." No. Once we become a Christian, and you know me very much, that I'm a man of grace. I believe that we're saved by grace. I believe that grace is the answer, and that the law is just a guideline to help us to understand how to get on with each other. And as our government try to come up with some ideas of how we can social distance and how we can get together and what we can do. And I actually, even though we sometimes have problems with the rules and the regulations or the speed at which things come and just wondering how we're going to do it, we should pray for our Prime Minister. We should pray for those in authority over us. I'll tell you something, for your Pastor Luke, you need to pray for him. You know, this has been one of the sparsest times that this church has known for many, many years, and yet he's not been worked harder than he's ever been ever since he started work, okay? It's true, yeah. This is the moment we're going to take an offering for them, so it's okay, no, stay in your seat. But it would be, but honor them, okay? Because these are tough times, it's hard. Moses, in leading the children of Israel, realized how difficult it was to lead people. Because you lot, you're a rum lot of people, really, aren't you? You've all got your own ideas. You've all got these, you know, we should do it this way, we should do it that way. And it was the same in 1447. They all had an idea, "Oh, let's go back. No, let's go forward. No, let's worship this, let's worship that. Do you think we should be worshiping in that way?" And so they got a cow and began to worship a cow. How daft is that? In the same year. My main point is this, though. And this is where you've all got to be careful. That in that year, it was the year of some of the greatest miraculous acts that God ever did. It was incredible what God did that year. Moses throws a stick on the ground, it turns into a snake, he picks it back up, it goes into a stick. He holds the stick over the River Nile and it turns into blood, and then frogs and lice and all kinds of things begin to happen, and God does some amazing things. Opens the Red Sea, provides them with food. Food's been an issue, hasn't it, over these last few days? These last few months, you know, can we get in shops? Can we get into Tesco's? Can we get into Asda? You know, getting food and having to line up to just get food. Who would have ever thought that the food bank would have been so needed? And yet, actually, we haven't really had the opportunity to give to the food bank as much as we'd like to give to the food bank. Can you see what I'm saying? There's still people in massive trouble, and all of the people are hurting. And in just a few days, they arrive at their future. After all these years of miracle, of this year of miracles, after all the amazing deliverances, after the wonderful way that God has dealt with them, the laws have been given, they arrive at their future. And that's where you are today. You've arrived at your future. Because yesterday is totally irrelevant. Today is an opportunity, but you stand at the edge of a future. And I don't know what the future will look like. In fact, another word that's come out is the new normal. Who knows what the new normal will look like in a few months' time? We look towards the end of this happening, and maybe when we can get vaccinations and various other things happening, we can begin to have some sense of normality entering in again. But what then? See, some of us could have lost our lives. In fact, had the pandemic hit the levels that actually it was anticipated to hit, we could have been in real trouble. I mean, we're thinking about the stuff now, and we're kind of demoralized by what is happening at this moment in time. But compared to what could have happened, do you know that in Northeast Hospital, the maximum people with COVID at any one time was 63. We'd actually provided 186 beds because we thought that that would be the kind of level that we were aiming at. And so it only actually hit a third of what we thought it might do. That's quite interesting, isn't it? For a month in Northeast, in the month of August, there were no COVID patients in the hospital. Not one? Confirmed. Yesterday was five, okay? Five people, but compared to what our imagination does sometimes, we sometimes think it's worse than it is, which leads to negativity. And after this amazing year, coming towards the end of this amazing year of 1447, they arrive at the River Jordan. The other side of the River Jordan is Jericho. Jericho is the beginning of a brand new life for every one of them. Moses sends out some spies into the land. He says, go and have a look at it. Let's have a see if everything that God has promised is true. And it's true. They're amazing grapes. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's got hills. It's got valleys. It's an amazing piece of land. In fact, it's the most crucial piece of land on the planet. It's only 150 miles long and 50 miles wide, but it joins three continents together. It's the most perfect piece of land for you. The spies come back. And two spies say, do you know what? This is exactly what God said. We need to go and occupy the land. 10 of them said, we can't do it. And instead of being in lockdown for a year, they were in lockdown for 40 years. Instead of it just being a momentary thing of plagues in that one year, it affected the rest of their lives, and they didn't die of the viruses, they didn't die of the plague, they died of boredom. They died because they wouldn't go and occupy the land. They died because they didn't fulfill what they were born for. They died because they recognized that the wandering round in circles and going nowhere was their future. When actually they could have won many, many battles. They could have had a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They could have had a great life ahead of them. And as a church, guys, it's time to make some sort of decisions. To recognize that when you've come through this year, what then? What then? Today, what are you going to do with your life? Okay, some of us, sadly, may die because of the virus. But you know, we can either die hiding, or we can die living. And every one of us have to make a choice that we're going to live until we die. And we're going to live to the full, and we're going to make the most of our lives. People said to me right at the very beginning, because I'm 70 years old, an old man, you know, I'm 71 now. Don't look it, do I? Go on then, come on, you're allowed to speak. You're allowed to speak at that. Even take your mask off and say, no, you don't. Okay. But anyway, no, keep your mask on. People said to me in the hospital, Dave, don't you think you should self-isolate? You're 70 years old. You can stay away now. There's no need for you to go. You can stay off for 12 weeks or more. And I said, I thought that when I signed up to be a chaplain in hospital life, that I was signing up to help sick people. Why now, when there are sick people more than ever, am I going to stay away? And they said, well, you might die. And I said, well, at least I've died for what I signed up for. And how tragic would it be that if we died getting knocked down by a bus, or died in our backyard, or died in the wilderness of our indecision? Because many of us are in the wilderness of indecision because we don't take the chance of taking the land for Jesus. We don't take the chance and we don't take the opportunity. And so I'm challenging you today to recognize that as we've come through this year, a tough year, God has caused incredible miracles. Look at you, you're alive. There was a threat that many of us might die. There was a threat over our lives, and that threat still exists. And we have to live by the rules. Rules were given. We have to do as we are told and be sensible in the way that we act. But don't stop living, guys. Don't stop believing. Don't stop accepting that our future is in God. And that the moment that we were born for is probably this. Do you know, I've had immense opportunities over these last 6 months. In fact, I think I've personally led more people to Jesus in this last 6 months than I have in the whole of my life. It's been an amazing opportunity. I had the opportunity to be with your granddad and for him to give his life to Jesus. He's in heaven today. Had this chaplain isolated, he may not be. Okay? But how important is it that every one of us be what God wants us to be and take the challenge to lay hold of what God took hold of us for? And that when we arrive at our opportunity, which is a great opportunity, people out there are making massive questions, and we've got the answer. They call him Jesus. He's the answer to every single circumstance and every situation, because whether we live or whether we die, we belong to Jesus. Okay? So here's the word: in a year of miracles, in a year of disasters, in an unprecedented year of 1447 BC. They saw God in amazing ways and yet rejected him and his plans. How tragic it would be if we served Jesus and we followed him and had miracles on our lives and then we didn't take everything that God had given to us. I pray for every one of you today that you'll not allow the circumstances, you'll not allow the negativities and all of the negative vibes that come to rob you of your destiny in God. Lord, I pray for this fellowship and I pray for all those who are listening today. I pray, Lord, for your kingdom that it will come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just bless your people with peace and joy in Jesus' name. Amen.